This is Esposé 247, where we bring you the word of his power and the power of his word. We've been in the knockout season of prayer, and if you are there wondering why the knockout season, what are we knocking out, or you feel like maybe for your personal life and the organization you belong to, you are so good with prayer, you know so much about this, you have that reputation for it, and you feel like, no, you've read a lot of books about it, you've even written books yourself. Maybe you are the prayer coordinator and you're wondering what is there to look at with. I just want to bring you back to the book of Revelation chapter 3, when the Lord was talking to the Laodicean church, that famous Laodicean church. He was telling them they already thought they are full, they are rich, they are wealthy, and they have need of nothing. So maybe you are full of knowledge and principles, methods, and how prayer should be, and you've done it and use it, and people come for what you know. And you feel like you need nothing. You have no need of nothing. But the Lord was talking to them in verse 18. He was saying, I counsel thee to buy from me. And that is what we are saying to you today. This bringing the same counsel to you this morning, that you will buy from the Lord. So you are just going to do away with all these handover principles, methods, and magics that you've been playing, and the tricks, the prayer tricks, that you will buy from the Lord. So you drop that thing that is in your hand that is looking glittering. He said, buy for me gold that is revived. He said, yeah, a white garment is that you might be covered, but what you are covering with is not the white garment, the righteousness of the Lord. Maybe you are covered with works, you are covered with formulas. He said, buy for me so that you can be covered and your shame will not be revealed, and you anoint your eyes with eyes of it so that you can see. You thought you could see, so you can see. So this morning we are offering you what the Lord is offering you, and that is this morning, this episode, we are offering you that gold that is well refined with fire, offering you the white garment and the high survey. I hope you will take advantage of the generosity of the Lord this morning as we continue on this knockout season of prayer, so that we will see and our nakedness will be covered, and we will drop what is glittering, what looks like gold, for what is actually gold that is refined by fire. If we are with us yesterday, we were talking about getting dressed for the battle, being fitted, and is being shaped with the belt of truth. I hope you are blessed by that. And if you don't know what we talked about yesterday, you know where to go. You hit the Exposé 247 page to listen to that episode and all the other episodes we've been doing on prayer. So we'll continue from where we stopped yesterday. I mean, talking about the whole armor of God. Do you want to bring our people up to the speed about that?
Now, viewers, thank you again for joining us today on this knockout series. Well, where we stopped in our last transmission was we began to look at the fact that Hebrews 2:14 simply says that Jesus did not just destroy the devil. Hebrews 2:15 then says he went ahead to minister to us so that he can deliver us from the fear of death. And the reason why he did that is because he said we have been held to a lifetime of bondage. I'm quoting Hebrews 2:15, not because of the devil anymore, but because of the fear of death. So we came to a conclusion yesterday that it's one thing that the enemy was destroyed. It's a whole different thing that the enemy has things he throws at humanity. And those very things are still keeping us bound in the power of the enemy, even though the enemy has been destroyed. So that's where we actually stop. And we actually look at the reason why the very first hammer that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about is the belt of truth. And we now saw the reason why that hammer became the first that the Apostle Paul will make reference to. But don't forget, as he joins us today on this transmission, as we continue to unfold these things, don't forget that what Ephesians 6 tells us is, having done all to stand. The only guarantee you have to stand in this day is if you have done all. And the doing all there was to put on the full armor of God. That's why it becomes imperative that we begin to look at the specific details of each of those armor. And we've been talking about this belt of truth. And then today, we're going to actually project further by the Spirit of grace, because I think the Lord is not releasing us yet to move into the second hammer, because we have to actually dissect this particular first hammer deeply. And the reason why we are dissecting this first hammer deeply is because it tells you, there's something this first hammer tells you about where your enemy hides. And then, because again, don't have the wrong notion about who the real enemy is. Please, if you're confused or you know you need further clarification, as it were, about who the real enemy is, please check out our previous transmission where we talked about the reality of you need to know who your real enemy is and get out of the wrong fight. We've actually discussed this. Look out for that title Know your enemy, get out of the wrong fight. That will actually reveal to you who the enemy is. But today, we're focusing on, a slightly different direction, which is we're looking at the hide out. And that's what we're looking at today. And then quickly follow us through, which is John chapter 8. Don't forget, we are still looking into that very first hammer, which is the belt, having your loins guarded with the belt of truth. John chapter 8, let's look at this quickly, which is a very, very common aspect of the scripture. We quote this a lot. But let's see the insight the Lord will give us today. Now, if you can read from verse John 8 from verse 30. Now, viewers, join us. We're going somewhere today. We're on a fact-finding mission to know the hideouts of the enemy. Look at John 8, verse 30. You can read, please, from verse 30.
And as I spoke these words,
okay,
many believe on him.
Okay.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
Yes, please.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Now, you can stop there. Now, this is a very popular verse of the scripture. People quote this a lot. In fact, I think on average, a lot of Christians are familiar with this verse, that you will know the truth, and the truth will actually what make you free. And if you check some other translation like NIV, they will say set you free. But you will then understand, if in our yesterday's transmission, using that as a springboard, you will wonder, why will knowing the truth make a man free, when people today in our generation are trying to organize prayer meetings to bind the devil, to destroy the power of the devil, so they can make progress with their lives. And Jesus is trying to tell humanity at this stage that your problem, as it were, is not the person of the devil, not the person of demons, not the person of principalities and powers. You might think this runs contrary to Ephesians 6, 11 to 13, that begins to say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and what? And powers. Why does it seem then in John 8, verse 13, so John 8, 31, that Jesus begins to indicate that knowing the truth is what makes you free, not destroying the devil? Does that not sound a bit contradictory? It's not contradictory. If you were with us on yesterday's transmission, where we said Hebrews 2:14 says the enemy has been destroyed. But the Bible says, even though he has been destroyed, you and I need administration of the truth of what actually happened. The reality of what happened, if we're going to walk what? Free. So walking free, as it were, is knowing the reality, knowing the truth of what the situation is. And the situation is that the enemy has been destroyed. The situation is Christ has granted you what? Victory. The situation is you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So the reality of what Jesus is saying is, what really makes you free now is not that you want to destroy the powers of the enemy in your life. It's that, do you know the truth of what the situation is? He said knowing that truth makes you walk free. In fact, that's why he says makes you free. It makes you free. It makes you receive and walk in the reality of what has been done. So the major issue that Christ was raising here, that your freedom is not tied down to destroying Satan. Your freedom, Christ is saying here, is tied down to you knowing what the truth is. And you see, that's the point. That's why we've been talking about putting on this belt of what? Truth. Your freedom, I repeat for the last time before we go on, is not tied down to destroying all the demons around your life. Your freedom is, do you know the truth? He said, if you know the truth, you walk free. Then that raises a question. What will Satan then try to do then? If Satan knows that he has been destroyed, 1 John 3:8. If Satan knows that he has been destroyed by the death of Jesus, what will Satan use as his weapon? Here it is. Lies. That's it. So Jesus said, he's going to have to lie. So Jesus said, you knowing the truth is what makes you walk free. Can you see that? What's the truth of your situation? And that's what we can see in this verse 31. We know this, but we're going to something much more deeper than this. Now, this verse we know, but let's look at the things that happened after these verses. And let's see. May I say this? It didn't seem to actually end well, this particular John 8, 31. Let's go on, please. This is what we're going to today.
Verse 33.
Now, don't forget, 33 is a continuation. So it's the same situation, same event, same circumstances. Now, go on from verse 33.
They answered him.
Now, who are the people that answered him? They were the people that he told. Don't forget that. The very same people that Jesus told that if you know the truth, you will walk free. The very same people were the one that answered Jesus back. Can you see that? So please get this. The same people answered Jesus back. They continue, please.
They answered him. Yeah. Very, 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 I say unto you.
Yeah.
No, verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. and were never in bondage to any man.
Okay.
How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?
Can you see that? The very same people that Christ is ministering liberty to, the very same people that Jesus is ministering deliverance to, are the very same people saying, well, we're not going to accept the reality of what you are saying. Now, I want you to just sit back and look at this and see how Satan works in our days, or how he hides, if he has been destroyed, where is his cover? Now, see, the very same people that Christ was ministering liberty to are the very same people telling Jesus, we were never in what? In bondage. Go on, please.
How said thou, ye shall be made free?
Okay.
Verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
Okay.
And the servant abided not in the house forever,
yes,
but the son abided ever.
Okay.
Verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word had no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father.
Okay.
Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that I told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God.
Okay.
Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Okay. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me.
Okay.
Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
Okay.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Now, look at that. Let's just quickly summarize what the background or the context of this particular discourse was between Jesus and these Jews that believe on him. Don't forget, what really is very scary about this John 8 from verse 31 up to verse 44 that we've just read is this. The Bible said he spoke to the Jews that believed on him. So if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, and you are listening to this transmission, it means this is applicable to you. These are not unbelievers. These are not people who don't care about Jesus. The Bible says he spoke to the Jews that believed on him, and he gave them the way out of bondage. Now we understand the reason why they could not walk free. That's why I said this particular John 8, we used to quote this a lot, that you will know the truth and it'll make you free. But unknown to most of us, this chapter did not end well for those Jews that believed on Jesus. It didn't end well because Jesus said, I know what the problem is. He said, your father lied to you. Can you see that? Your father lied to you. You say your father the devil, and he's a liar. In fact, the NIV translation says, when the devil speaks lies, he speaks his native language. That's his language. That's his tongue. So Jesus offered them the way out. And Jesus said, I suddenly realized that the reason why you guys are not free is because you of your father, the devil, who lied to you. And he speaks of his own, which is lying. So now we see, you know what they told Jesus? They said, we're never in what?
In bondage.
If you remember, we said yesterday in our last transmission that what Satan does to humanity is lie about the situation. And he works in both ways. How that makes people to have unhealthy interest in him. Making himself all overpowering, he presents himself beyond what he really is. If Satan cannot achieve that with you, now if he does that by making you superstitious, you see the demon under every rock in your life. Everything that happens to you is Satan. In fact, there are times when instead of taking responsibility for your life, instead of you looking at your background, your experience, your exposure as being responsible for something that happened in your life, everything is about the devil. Like, the devil cannot get people to be superstitious. Then the second thing, he goes the other way around, which is he tries to make sure they don't believe in the fact that he's the one responsible, or even he doesn't even exist. And whichever one Satan can achieve, it doesn't matter as long as he's lying about the situation. See these people? They told Jesus, we were never in what? In bondage to anyone. Now, who told them that? Who told them they were never in what? In bondage. Jesus exposed it was Satan that told them. He said, your father lied to you. Your father lied to you. What am I talking about? What are we looking at in this case? We are simply saying, we now know the reason why Jesus Christ told them in verse 31 that all you need is to know the reality of your situation. All you need to know is the what? Is the truth, so that you can be made what? Made free. So if Satan would then keep you in bondage, all he has to do is not to fight you, is not to attack you. All you have to do is what? Is lie. That's why John 8:44 says, the devil lied from the beginning. And you see, your father the devil, because he's a liar. What are we talking about today? We are simply saying that this kind of transmission we are having today is exposing the reality of the word. And unless we expose the reality of the word, we will be exposed to the lies of the devil. And it means the bondage of Satan, the captivity of Satan in the life of anyone will be hidden under the lies. These people were kept in bondage because they were lied to by the devil. It means every time you don't expose your heart, every time you don't expose your life to the truth of the word of God regarding any situation in your life, regarding any circumstances you are going through, what does the word of God say in truth? Unless we are exposed to that truth of the word, we give room for the enemy. And the Bible says where the enemy hides, where the enemy puts his head is under those what? Those lies. And that's why these people were kept in bondage in this particular place that we've seen.
You agree with us that what we're sharing about, what we're sharing this morning is very, very important. Even in Defense Academy, you need to understand the hideout of the enemy. You need to, for you to, you really even need to train in those areas. So you see people, they even simulate and go to places. If you're going to fight, if they have not fought in desert places before, they need to go there and even understand the terrain and see where. And now they hide in caves and everything. So this morning we're talking about the hideouts of the enemy. It's not enough for you to know your armory and start knowing the and even know how to fight without even knowing where is the enemy hiding. So it can get to you at any point, though you have all the skills. But it's jumping, sprawling on you. And that's why the devil, that's what he does, is he pounced. You know, he's been there like a lion. He's hidden in dens and can pounce on you on our ways. So this morning, as we continue to fish him out from the hiding place, I hope you will go with us on the trail to look out.
Thank you for that. Now it means that before we go to the next verse, what is the hideout of the enemy? It would mean that it's not about what you're going through that's the situation. It's not about your experience that is the real problem at the moment. Contrary to what you might think, the major problem are the lies that the devil pumps into our heart, the lies of the enemy in our minds. Those are the things that he hides under, preventing him from being accessed by every single solution we are trying to find to our problem. And that's why in this, have you noticed? If you take your time to read this John 8:31, please read up to the last verse in that chapter 8. You would notice that it never ended well. Those people just walked away in bondage. Now the question you want to ask is, how come these people in John 8:31 to 44 were not free? Jesus gave the reason. He said the devil lied to them about their situation. Can you see that? The devil Satan lied to them about their condition. So you cannot expose to you cannot actually afford to be in ignorance of the reality of what the word of God says about your situation. If you expose yourself to the lies of the devil, what happens is no matter what solution you're trying to prefer to the situation, it never goes away. And that's why if you notice, Jesus was trying to help them. Can you see that? Christ came to them, ministered to them, but yet they were kept in bondage. Let's go quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
I just
something?
Want to say, they always say that the devil is in the details. Sometimes it's not actually the situation because people already, they're prepared. They know when the devil possesses something, so they know how to attack what they find as the devil is in the object, the devil is in a particular, so they can say, oh, the haunted houses and everything like that, they can know how to fish out. Some really can see. They don't need anybody to tell them that all those ones were in the details. That would be in the details. Mm. The details of the situation. Mm. Not even the situation itself. Mm. It's something that takes some skill for people to know. So it's here for people to say this is a possessed city, a possessed town, a possessed object, a possessed person. Naturally, they can pick out the characteristics and so they can know how to guide and how to make the defense and how to make attack. On those, but when it's about details, they win the details. So how do you do? That is the thing, and that was what happened to those ones in that John chapter 8. That it was even the details lying to them. They are free people when they are not free. And that is what they're doing. The devil in the details.
In fact, thank you for saying that. You know that brings me to what happens. What's happening in most part of the Western world today, where the enemy ensures that people believe that it is all natural. It is just natural course. There's nothing about it. Because he knows as long as people don't know the reality of the situation, then he is protected. That's what the enemy does. Now, please, I know some people are probably wondering. I'm not sure if you've imagined before. You're saying, if only Jesus can show up specifically in my situation. I mean, at times when you pray, or at times when you attend meetings, and you say, oh, we're praying for the Lord to show up in his mighty power. If only Jesus shows up in this situation, then I know that all my problems will be gone. And I know everything that is afflicting my soul will lose its hold upon my life. Oh, Jesus, show up in my life. Well, that's a very good thing. But you see, these people were right physically in the presence of Jesus. They were right in front. You can't be as closer to Jesus physically as they were. But yet the Bible says they left away. They left Christ's presence with the same bondage. Why? Because whatever was kingdom bound hid itself under the lies of the devil. Jesus said, your father lied to you. And then you don't even know the reality of the situation. And see, it would mean that even Jesus ministering to them one-to-one did not help them out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why some of us, we think, oh yes, we pray, we do this, we fast, we bind, we cast, we destroy, we build, we do all these spiritual gymnastics. We encounter anointings like these people encountered Jesus face to face. But yet, they walked away. The story didn't end well in John chapter 8. And we now know the reason. He said it's because they listened to the lies of the devil. That's how the devil protects himself. That's how the enemy protects himself. And you see, we're going to look at something that's going to drive this point deeper. Because we've come today to expose the hideout of the enemy. Yeah. We've come to break out his hideout. So even if the enemy is hiding in any aspect of our lives with these lies, what happens? It doesn't matter what kind of ministration Christ brings. See, Jesus was that talking to them directly, but it made no solution. That's how critical this is. This is how critical what we're discussing this morning is. Now let's go quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and begin to look at this thing. 2 Corinthians 10. And we're exposing the idea to the enemy. Now we've seen John 8, what it is. He lies about the situation. The lies of the devil. 2 Corinthians 10. Can you read that from verse 4? You can read that, please, from verse 4.
It reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Now, okay.
But mighty through God, mm-hmm. to the pulling down of strongholds.
Well, thank you. There's a word that comes to mind. Then. There's a word the Lord is bringing to our notice this morning. And that's the word stronghold. Stronghold. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, this is not a very strange word, right from the Old Testament, because you see David and the prophets and all these Old Testament saints saying the Lord is my stronghold and all that. Let's see this word stronghold, what it is, and let's see how this applies in the context of 2 Corinthians 10:4. Now, quickly, I wanted to read, look at 1 Samuel, and let's see what this stronghold word, 1 Samuel 23:14. Don't forget that there's a word stronghold, and we need to actually expose what that word stronghold is. It's not just a hold, it's a strong one. And what do we do with it? I mean, what do the Old Testament saints, or Old Testament prophet, Old Testament 23:14, and read. Now look at this. There are lots of verses in the Bible where the word stronghold is mentioned. And unless we get the full dossier of what the word stronghold is, we might not be able to understand what 2 Corinthians 10:4 is trying to pass across to us about the enemy's hideout. Now see 1 Samuel 23, verse 14. Now watch, listen to this.
And David abode in the wilderness, okay. in strongholds,
okay.
and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziv.
It means he says, David abode in the stronghold. Go on, please.
And remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziv. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand.
Why? Because David was in the what?
Stronghold.
Well, can you see that? He said Saul wanted to kill David, and he didn't try it once. He didn't try it twice. Saul tried many times, every day to get David. But as long as David was in the stronghold, he was inaccessible. What does that tell you about the stronghold? As long as somebody is in the stronghold, it doesn't matter what you do to access them. You can shoot arrows at them. You can try to attack them. You can try to shoot them. You can try to throw things at them. As long as they're in the stronghold, they are inaccessible. The Bible says even Saul tried every day to access David. Saul tried every day to kill David, but it was just practically impossible because David put a cover on himself. And it's called not just a hood, it's a strong what? Stronghold. What we are trying to do this morning by the Holy Spirit is to paint a picture of the impenetrability or how the stronghold cannot just be accessed. Now, it would then really be serious why the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 10:4 comes up with this word stronghold. In fact, David had a place called the Cave of Adullam. You see, this is the place when the battle gets really strong. There's a place in the Old Testament that says when David was anointed as king over Israel, the Philistines heard about it. And the Bible says the Philistines came en masse. They came en masse to attack what? David. When David saw the size of the Philistines coming at him, David didn't even bother to fight back or shoot back. The Bible says he went straight into the stronghold. Now, you see, what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that the stronghold has not just been a New Testament word, it's an Old Testament word that talks about where the enemy what? Height, inaccessible, impenetrable. You cannot access him. It doesn't matter what you do. Now then, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10:4 and see why the Apostle Paul is using the same word, stronghold. And in the context in which the word is being used, in terms of the spiritual warfare we've been talking about. See what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4. Now we painted a picture of what a stronghold is. Now get this. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, what does it say then?
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Okay, what we fight with are not carnal.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Well, the Bible says, if you believe in spiritual warfare, it's high time you stop fighting the wrong enemy. If you believe in spiritual battle, you might have been so much distracted in your life fighting the wrong thing. It says your business, my business, in spiritual warfare, is not actually to say, Satan, I destroy you. You cannot attack me anymore. Well, that's your business. That's the job of Jesus. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. That's not your problem. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, if you will ever engage in spiritual warfare, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, I will tell you who to fight. Let's deal with the strongholds. Let's shoot down. Let's tear down strong. See, except for what? For the pulling what?
Down
of stronghold. The enemy has left strongholds in place. That's why we said in Hebrews 2:14 yesterday and verse 15, we simply said, even though the Bible says Satan was destroyed by Jesus, Hebrews 2:14, the Bible says Christ Jesus had to minister to those who were held in bondage, not by Satan, but by what Satan left. He said they were held in bondage by their fear of death. Satan dropped something on humanity. The enemy dropped something on people. And he said that is the very thing that Christ also came to minister to. So he destroyed Satan and ministered to humanity. Here he's saying that if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare, you need to know that your enemy has put a stronghold in place. Now, I can give you an illustration. An illustration would be, for example, if somebody walks into this room where we are with a very strong perfume. Now, even if the person leaves the room, in most cases, the fragrance of the perfume still lingers in the what? In the room. The Bible simply says, even though the enemy has been destroyed, Satan has been taken out of the situation. In fact, the Bible says, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you're a son of God, Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. The enemy's power crushed. But you know what? He left a perfume. The enemy left a fragrance. The enemy left strongholds. And the Bible is saying if you're going to fight in spiritual warfare, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What your weapons of warfare should do is to what? Get rid of the saint. Get rid of the perfume. Get rid of the strongholds. Now, why does he call it a stronghold? Don't forget. Don't forget. We saw David that the stronghold was meant to be a place of what? Hiding. You call it refuge. Yeah, refuge, if the stronghold is in the positive, but in the negative, it's also a refuge for what? For anyone. The stronghold is a place of refuge. Refuge for the enemy as well. A place of cover. So he says, let us what? Pull down what? What stronghold? Let's pull down the cover. That's what he's saying. Let's pull down every single cover. Whose cover? The cover of the enemy. Let's pull him down. Let's pull down the cover of the enemy. And that's what he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are for what? Pulling down every cover that the enemy has used to hide himself. And that's what he says there. Now go on, please.
Verse 5, it reads.
Now, if you're wondering, now the question you're asking then is, what is this stronghold then? What is it? What is this cover? What is it that is protecting the enemy? What is this stronghold? It's going to give us details, much more information about what this stronghold is. What did you say, please?
Casting down imaginations.
Casting down imaginations. Now, we now know these things, whatever they are imaginations. Now, you see, I wanted to call your attention to the tense, to whether it's singular or plural. Can you see what it says? What did it say there?
Imaginations.
If you've been with us on our previous transmission, we've highlighted Ephesians chapter 6 that says that what? Take on the full armor so that you can what? Take your stand against the schemes. Again, the word plural is coming into place. The enemy has schemes, wise. Now, you might be wondering, why in the world does Satan have schemes? Why does he have wise? Well, this is the reason. The reason is what works for Mr. A doesn't work for Mr. B. That's why the enemy cannot just afford to have only one tool. Because why? Because the uniqueness of everyone demands that Satan knows what works for every person. That's why he's got tools and schemes. And this one says there are imaginations. It's not one of them. That is why the Bible says to us that we have to take on the full armor. This is the reason. Because if you take armor one on, the first armor on, and Satan switches the method and tries the second method, and the Bible says you go, that's why it says if you take on the full armor, you can be guaranteed against all the schemes. So you need full armor. You need the complete armor because there are many schemes. And that's why he says here, he said casting down imaginations. It's not one imagination. If one doesn't work for you, the enemy drives for the next imagination, the next imagination, the next imagination. So what he's simply saying here, now we understand that the stronghold, which we know is a refuge that protects, that covers the enemy, is saying actually these things are what? Imaginations. The things that the devil left behind, even though he has been destroyed. Can you see that? Now, can you go on, please?
And every high thing.
Every high thing.
That exalted itself.
Yes.
Against the knowledge of God.
Now think about it. If you're wondering what every high thing is, that scripture illustrates what every high thing is. He said the thing exalts itself up against what?
The knowledge of God.
So that thing too has to be a knowledge. Can I say? It's knowledge versus knowledge. The high thing is a knowledge. Because it's exalting itself against God's knowledge. It's also a form of knowledge. You see that? It's a version of knowledge. Again, we come to the fact of why the belt of truth has to be in place. He's simply saying, this is where the end. Don't forget, all these imaginations, all this knowledge, exalting itself up against God's knowledge, this is our strongholds. They are the protective cost. That's the castle, the protection custody that the enemy puts his head under. That's what he's saying then. Can you see that? So the Bible says, take up his cover. Remove the cover of the enemy. That's it. Cast it down. Pull down the stronghold. Nowhere to hide anymore. And so we now know that it is imaginations. We know it's what? Knowledge. And they see, like you said yesterday, in the realm of the spirit, there's no vacuum. If you don't have the truth of the word of God, something else, some kind of information is there. Some kind of knowledge is there in your life. And go on, please.
And bring into captivity every thought
to the
obedience of Christ.
It cannot be more clear than that. It's just thought. Your thinking pattern, your reasoning, what your knowledge base is. And the Bible says all these things is where the enemy hides himself, the stronghold. And don't forget, let me call your attention to this, that we now know why strongholds are very crazy. Bible says as long as David was in a stronghold, it doesn't matter whatever Saul did. It wasn't working. I mean, it doesn't matter. Now, does that then mean then it wouldn't matter how far you are trying to provide a solution to your problem? If as some Christians think with some very firebrand prayers, with some very, they call it fire prayers or knockout prayers or prayers that actually,
prayers.
I mean, very hot prayers that, yes, if you do those kind of things, some people say, I'll just go for 7 days dry fasting and then that'll be the end of the trouble. People say a lot of things, but listen, the Bible says as long as it's covered, it doesn't matter how many times Saul wanted to access David. The Bible says as long as David was in the stronghold, there's no way. If the enemy is covering himself in a stronghold, I mean, the Bible says it doesn't matter how, no matter what much activity you want to execute, nothing can happen. No change in the situation because there's what? A stronghold is covered himself up in that situation. And this cover, we now understand, they are what? Thought patterns. We understand wrong knowledge. We understand imaginations. That's what they are.
Yes, we can see that even maybe David and the other people borrowed the idea from the Lord. Because even in the Old Testament, we saw the Lord establishing and telling the people of Israel to build the place of refuge. They make like two in the cities, one in the middle, and so for even when the avenger of blood is coming, even when some people are wrongfully murdered somebody, accidental murder, and you know that because for every blood that was spilled there really must be an instant vengeance. They say, run to that place of refuge. And nothing, not even the avenger of blood, if you can make it into that city. So they will have been instructed to build that, something like a stronghold fort, to run. And the way you go there, even lawfully, the avenger of blood cannot, as long as you get into the city. And that is the fault. That's the fault they're talking about. And so that is, it applies anywhere. Be it positive. So this is a tactic the enemy use. It's a tactic that the children of God can use. They can come into the fold. That's why it's called the place of refuge. The name of the Lord.
It's a strong tower. It's a stronghold.
So that is, it is just, it's just common in military. And they, you see them, they withdraw when they see into their fold. When some of their losing, they just go and stay there and hibernate and hide. And that's why people cannot get them and everything like that in both ways. So we're just telling you this morning to exploit that, to exploit the stronghold.
Remove the cover of the enemy.
Yes,
blow
remove
it
the
up.
Cover, understand it. And then you can even understand it being your own stronghold. To make you inaccessible. So in both ways, we are calling you to. And then if you are following all this morning, you will see that we are blowing the cover of the enemy.
We're blowing the cover, that's what we're doing.
So we are compromising his position for you. Compromising his position and blowing off his identity. Now, for you to be able to see the enemy for who he is and see what he's up to. So we've just compromised him, and I hope that you're following.
Now, thank you for that insight, for what you've shared. Now, let's now get a bit deeper into this. It would mean that the most effective tool that Satan is using, you see, if you were with us on last transmission, we said the enemy of our soul doesn't come against us fire for fire. Like people think, that's why at times when people read Ephesians 6, that says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It paints the wrong picture in our minds. I see people try to write caption for programs saying, tonight is war. We're going to destroy the devil tonight. We declare war on the devil tonight, and we will destroy everything in your life that is what? Affecting your destiny. People say things like that. And then such kind of titles for meetings then means people don't understand what Ephesians 6:12 is saying at all. We know we are wrestling against against principalities and powers, but those are the people we are wrestling against. But that's not what they use. They don't come against it with fire for fire. What they simply do is, Bible says they have been destroyed, and Hebrews 2:14. So what they've left in place is, they know that if they leave in place this stronghold, they can effectively provide a cover over or on top of any situation that you are actually going through. Once they protect it, means it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much prayer, how much fasting, how much things you want to execute, how much spiritual gymnastics you want to engage in, how much spiritual activity you do. They know that they are well protected. There's a stronghold. And how do they do that? The Bible tells us that they first come up with what? Imaginations. These imaginations, every imagination. So the question you're asking yourself is this. Do you have imagination? Do you have knowledge and thinking pattern and thought pattern that don't line up with what? With the word. We gave some examples yesterday, but we might want to give much more examples today so that we can be practical with this, especially for those people who are going through one situation or the other in their lives at the moment. Now, I want you to check every situation, every condition you are in at the moment. I want you to look at it critically, and I want you to ask yourself the question, do you have the truth of what the word of God says about that situation? I'm not asking you for your experience. I'm not asking, do you have the experience? I'm saying, do you have the knowledge of the truth? Don't forget, the Bible says, casting down everything that exalts itself up against God's knowledge. I mean, do you have a false knowledge? And that false knowledge is exalting itself against God's what? Knowledge. The thing is simply saying, well, it doesn't matter what the word of God says. This is what my experience says. And from my experience, I've come up with a new knowledge. From my experience, the Bible says, as long as you have that in your life, the enemy has a cover. The enemy is protected. He is protected. That situation is covered. There's nothing you do in the place of prayer. There's nothing you do in fasting. There's nothing you do in whatever you are trying to do that will access that situation anymore, because there's a cover. It would mean that we then have a duty in the realm of the spirit to do what Ephesians 6:12-13 tells us is the very first hammer, which is to what? access the belt of truth. That's the very first principle. So that's the very first thing. You will have to access the belt of truth. Now, if you think this thing is not that critical, look at what Jesus said to them in John 8:31 that we read before. Jesus was right in their presence. Jesus was the one ministering right to them, yet they went away in bondage. Because Jesus said, the enemy has exposed them to lies and they're not willing to drop what? Those lies. Now, the question you're asking this morning is, how hard is it? How hard is it for people to drop lies and things that don't line up with the truth of the word of God? Now, if you think it's easy, you might want to check John 8:31, where they walked away and they just walked away in bondage and they refused to access what Christ came to bring to them. So let's say this, whatever thing you're going through at the moment, I mean, we gave some illustration yesterday about even if you're going through any demonic attack, even though you, no matter what you're going through, you're going through situations, family patterns, it doesn't matter what it is, you cannot afford to listen to the lie of the devil. For example, if you believe that what you are going through at the moment in your life is because of some curses that somebody placed on you, if you believe that it was because of some family curses or somebody cursed you and all that, if you believe that and you think, well, this is why this is happening to me, what you have done is you have exalted a knowledge gained from your experience up against God's knowledge. Now, what is God's knowledge? If you want to ask me, what is God's knowledge in that particular situation? I'm giving practical cases now. In that particular situation, the truth of God's word is in Galatians 3:13, 14. It says, Christ has redeemed, past tense, us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So it would mean that if Christ was made a curse for you, the Bible says you were redeemed from the curse. So now it's not up to you to say, well, am I going to take on what? The truth of that word in this situation and use that as my knowledge base? Or will I respond to the knowledge that the enemy is bringing to me based on my what? Experience. And the Bible says, whichever choice you make at that time, at that instance, whatever choice you make, whichever knowledge you want to go for at that time, if you go for the wrong knowledge imposed by the enemy, he said, there you have a what? A stronghold. There the enemy hides. That is his hiding place. And it doesn't matter the volume of prayers you pray. Doesn't matter the volume of Bible study you do. Doesn't matter whatever you do. As long as that wrong knowledge is in place, the enemy has what? A hiding place. And we have come today to blow the cover of the enemy.
Yes, in other words, we're just saying that those imaginations, as we find out in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, they are the building blocks of, you know, the stronghold. And so you have to go at it, you know what it is now, block by block.
Don't forget, it's imaginations.
So block by block.
What, it's in different parts of your life, imaginations. Yes, that's it.
So block by block, you pull down those imaginations one by one. So you go through all those imaginations, all those things feeding you with ideas. Every idea that is running contrary, aside the will of God. And
to the victory of Christ, to the cross of Christ.
So every of those ideas, no matter how possible and plausible it is, and now where they are understanding it is, you know.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. And it looks practical. It looks like it's a common, you know, the commonality that is common. Everybody is having the same. So it does not make it genuine. So you have to know that it is just being fed from the pit of hell. And that is the stronghold that the enemy has put in place, brick by brick, into your life. Some people is so high because it has taken time and years. Imaginations one here, another one there, you know, sponsored by friends, well wishers, and those like that. So all those imaginations are coming one by one and being reinforced time. Just like we shared yesterday, being reinforced
the
over
enemy
time.
Reinforces, yeah.
So you are going with the hammer of God's word, the truth that we are talking about, the belt of truth against it, because it's a knowledge base. You're going to the knowledge base, and you're going to pull it down brick by brick, imaginations by imagination. So you're bringing your imaginations in direct conflict with God's word. And say, imaginations versus imaginations. This is God's
knowledge against knowledge.
Knowledge against
thought against thought.
So that's you have to say, for I know the thoughts that I have for you. For everything, there's an answer for all those questions and those imaginations. You have it. You have the reality in the scriptures. And the New Testament, for those alternative figures and facts, you have the figure, you have the reality. The reality is in Christ. So you are going to bring it brick by brick. So you are the one that you are going to do the exercise. It is your job. It is your duty. You have it all mapped out for you. Your job cut out for you. Going for each of the imaginations one by one. Just like we told you yesterday, it is not a lazy man's job. You know, it's a job that you really know. You cannot outsource it. That is it. For people that like to outsource their life and for everything, this is one thing you cannot outsource. Mm-hmm. And so if you are going for a covering to a place or somebody that will help you to do the pulling down, you know, you can't, because this imagination comes to you. It's just people who agree to exploit it, and you are going to be in that racketing, and you'll be a pawn for a long time. Mm-hmm. So you, because this imagination is your work, it's coming onto your eye, it's coming to your head, it's coming to your mind. The devil is projecting it. So you need to come at all time. That's why he was saying they're putting on that belt of truth is your normal wear. Mm. It is what you have to be all the time. And so you must be prepared, ready, alert, you know. You have your costume ready against those imaginations one by one as the belt of truth. So you have the truth of God's word against every imagination. So look down for all those imaginations and look for the appropriate God's word, the belt of truth against it. It is your uniform.
Now, thank you for that. Now, have you noticed that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 that we read, have you noticed that when it actually started, it didn't tell us what the weapons are? It just said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. But just by simple deduction, you would notice then we can deduce what that weapon is. We have to know it's the truth, because if you look at all what it actually called the building block of his strongholds, it's about knowledge, it's about thoughts, it's about... So we now know... Can you see? So all, it has to be... That weapon must have been the truth. I mean, that, and that's what we have come to this morning. And then you see, let us point out something very significant. That the way the devil works, the Bible calling the master schemer, what it means is all he has left now is just his schemes. We know that because he has been destroyed. His power has been destroyed. In fact, have you noticed one thing? Anytime I read this Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was ascending to heaven and he began to commission the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel, I'm not sure whether you noticed this. In Acts 1, the Bible says, Jesus said to the disciples, all power, I want you to mark that word. I will take it slowly. He said, all power in the heavens, on the earth, has been given to me. Well, when you use the word all in a statement, it means it's exclusive of any other possibility. All power in the heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go into the world and preach the gospel unto all men, unto all nations, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We all know that verse. I think Acts 1:8 you're about. It would mean that Jesus had all powers and authority in the heaven and earth has been given to him. I begin to wonder, what does Satan have to use then on humanity? If all power and all authority, Jesus said, was given to him, because Philippians 2 tells us that the Father has exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, it would mean then what Satan has left, according to Ephesians 6, would then be schemes. And then, schemes and wise. That's what he has left to use. So the scripture is simply telling you that you and I have to come to the real knowledge of the truth of the word in every aspect. We cannot leave any stone unturned. And you see, there's one thing that the devil does for some Christians as well. Like we said, Satan doesn't mind if he can convince some Christians that everything about your life is about demonic. I mean, for some people who are at the moment even going to some... I use an example like poverty. You know, some people who have financial challenges in their lives, in their families. I mean... Satan doesn't mind if he can convince people that everything happening to you is all demonic. In fact, the devil can decide to hide from you your own recklessness. He can decide to hide from you the fact that you are not taking what? Opportunities. You are not taking hold of opportunities in your life coming your way. That you are just leaving things for granted. That you are not laying hold upon chances that are coming your way. And you are not being serious about things. The enemy does. See, the devil doesn't mind as long as he lies about the situation. You see this in John 8:31? The devil told those people they were never in what? In bondage. Satan can either tell somebody you are never in bondage, even though he knows he's manipulating the person, or he can tell the person you are everything about you, I'm responsible for it, even though he knows he's not. The devil doesn't really care whichever one. All that matters to the devil is that we don't have the reality of the situation. When the devil can do that, he's achieved his aim. So we have come to the point where we're simply saying, as a Christian, you have the duty, the responsibility in the spirit, to take hold of the truth of the word of God in every circumstance in your life and allow no lies of the devil to lay any hold upon your life. And that's what we've come to talk about this morning.
Yeah, as much as we don't want you to overestimate the devil and the works of the devil, we actually don't want to run the same problem, have the same problem by you underestimating.
Yeah.
But we see that in John chapter 8, Jesus went into details about this so that you know you are dealing with that.
I think when in John 8:31, they underestimated him. They said, no, we are not in bondage at all.
He was telling him that you need to know who we're talking about, the devil, that when he deals with lies, the merchant of lies, what he sells is lies, lies.
Mm.
So what he has alone left to work with, just like we know that he has been defeated completely. So we now say, what is he working with? He only works with, he has only one product, and that is lies. He says, fathers of lies, that when he even speak lies, he's so good at it, it's like his mother tongue, that's his native language. So you can't beat him in that game. And that's the only thing he has. And that's why, you know, Jesus has come to blow his cover. Because some people don't know what he has been up to, who is he, and everything is masquerading all through the Old Testament. And Jesus blew his cover. He has only one thing, and that is
that's
life.
That's what's got left.
So that's what he's feeding to you. He's feeding your imagination, feeding your thought life. And to your experience, injecting ideas into you, injecting his life. So whatever is coming out, whatever is bringing is just lies. So whatever he's saying, it's giving you it looks like alternative view to it. It is light. It is pure light. Because that's what it deals with. It's the father of it. It's the manufacturer. And that's the only thing that Jesus was able to talk about him in that John chapter 8. That when he talks with you, you're talking with a pro. You're talking with an expert on it. So it comes shades that it comes in shades of truth. So it can give you shades of it, you know, a variation of it. Some it will not become like that. It might not appear purely like that as light. It gives you shades of it. It gives you different versions of it and everything. Some that looks believable. You know, that is the kind of the thing. We are talking about a master here. And so those are those imaginations that come over the years and being reinforced because it looks like it. It appears like it. And those are the lies of the devil. So we allow you to see it as what they are today. Those thoughts, those thinkings, those things you are looking at, those alternative approach, and those things that are given that looks like a reality, and those are being reinforced, and that is reinforce your beliefs, and they are even affected how you respond to things. It's causing about your meditations and your approach to things, and it informs you. Those are the things that informs you, and those are telling you those imaginations. That's the only thing he has now. That is the imaginations, his lies, webbed lies into your thinking pattern. And that's why you should know that that is his hideout, just like we promised this morning, that the Lord is going to show us the hideout where he's hiding, the stronghold. That's the fort. He had the fort. And that fort is the lies. It's the web of lies. And so you have to bring the word of God, the truth of God's word, to look for every of the truth of God's word. Because you cannot afford to walk and say, I put down one imagination. No. You say, casting down all. Putting on the whole armor. All of the armor for all of the imaginations. All of the hammers for all those thoughts that rises up against the knowledge of the Lord. You know, all those thoughts besitting you, you have to have the word of the Lord, the knowledge of God's word against all of this. So you need to really, just like it is the fathers of light, you have to be the father of truth.
That's it.
That is the thing, to counter it. You cannot afford not to be efficient. Like, it's efficient and light. You just have to be efficient in the truth. So you cannot slack down. You cannot just say a little will do, a little will not do. You need to come with that proficiency. And so you are able to answer him for every of those questions. For every of those imaginations, you have the word of God for it.
Thank you for that. Now, you see, there's something that we made a hint about it in our last transmission. Then we might try to dig deeper into that today before we finish. There was something that we said. And I think, I'm not sure if you were with us on our last transmission, you might have heard that. We simply say, because all power and all authority has been given to Jesus, I'm quoting Acts chapter 1, it means Satan cannot make anything happen in your life. Yes. Let's repeat that slowly. Satan cannot make something happen to you in your life. What does he do? All he does is wait for your experience and then reinforce wrong beliefs in your heart based on that experience. And that's why Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give place to the devil. If you notice that verse, we read it yesterday. Go and listen to that transmission. Satan only plays with our experiences. And for example, anything that happens to you, then it tells you, this is why you are in bondage. And that's why you have to stay in what? In bondage. That's what he does. The father of lies. He lies about the situation. That's what he does. He doesn't have power to make things happen. All he does is enforce or lie to you about the situation to keep you bound in that situation, and the lies becomes his cover in that situation. And as long as you expose your heart to the truth of the word of God about that situation, you blow his cover. And that's what the Bible says. Now we're going to read that 2 Corinthians 10 quickly.
I don't think we have time. I don't think so. I just want to say thank you for joining us today. And we do hope that you've been blessed by this. So we do want you to join us 7 p.m. UK time on Saturday and 9 a.m. UK time on Sunday next week as we continue in this series. So we want you to talk back to us. Do you have any comments, any question, anything that need clarification? We are open to welcome, even if you feel any different view about this. You know, as long as it's politely put across, we're ready to, we are open to all of those on our page. So we really want you to go there. You know, God gave the word, and great is the company of those that publish it. I know you are part of the company that is publishing this word. So you're taking this word, take this the blessings in this episode. So I want you to take it to wherever man is found. Even in space, take it there. Let it go to prison, underground, under the bridge, the palaces, you know, let it come across all classes and sectors. And so we are going to spread God's word. We spread the gospel, and it shall be honored. So to see you next week, Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time, as we continue on this episode of Knockout. You know, yesterday we thought, oh, we're going to get more into the armory. We talk about the belt of truth. And today we're thinking we're going to learn about the other, the armor. But no, we are still talking about what the belt of truth is doing. So there's still more. I don't need to tell you more. There is more and more. Even for
those
armor.
And don't forget, the Bible says, have you done all to stand? You need to do all. Put on the full armor. If there be a guarantee of standing in this day.
So it will not do well for you to just know about this belt of truth alone and just run off. How will you be able to stand? So I do need to convince you that you need to be here to listen to this episode next week. And so if you have missed any of the episodes on this prayer, you know, we'll keep referring back to some of these episodes and everything. You just need to go back and listen. Just like we told you that you have only one job for you now. It's just to arm yourself with the knowledge of truth. That is the thing. Because the devil is the father of lies. He manufactures lies at will.
He's been destroyed.
And that is what he's doing. He only had lies. So you have to equip yourself with all the truth. And part of equipping yourself is availing yourself of all the opportunities. So we have more than 70 episodes on our expose, 247 pages, and even some of some live transmission, some outside transmission outside of expose. So you need to arm yourself with this knowledge of the truth. So you do well. Buy gold from the Lord that is well refined. Buy white garments so that you'll be covered. Your nakedness will not be exposed to the enemy. You know, that kind of a thing. So till we see you next week, please, I hope I've worked your appetite to come for more next week. 7 p.m. UK time. We want to say stay blessed, stay covered.
God bless you. Bye.